So, dear friends, so today is September 13th, 208, and we are at the Day of Mindfulness at Compassionate Dhammaka Monastery. And I would like to welcome you all. Some of you are new, and this morning we have three friends come very far, drive 4 hours, and he told me that he had to get up at 4 or something like that. And which reminds me that in Vietnam, normally we get up at 3 every day. And to practice sittings, to practice chanting. And we have breakfast very early, right? Yes. 6 already, we already have breakfast very early. So every day like that. So which three friends that drive from Nebraska. It was touching me that he lived so far, and you look on the website and see we have our practice day. So he and his two children come and get us so, the first time. So we'd like to welcome all of you, and also who are new to our practice. I also like to welcome you all. And I know that all of you drive at least 45 minutes or half an hour to here. So it's quite a long drive. But because you know that something that you can we can come together and practice together, and you're aware that there is some kind of benefit and some kind of transformation. So that's why you sacrifice. Otherwise, this Saturday, you might be going to somewhere else party, right? And and some out enjoying hiking, you know, this would be. But why are you coming here? You know, you have to have something that's motivate you. We come together. There's something in you, not outside you, that push you or motivate you to come. So you should make your day worthy, you know, enjoy your whole day, because you try many hours, you sacrifice many things to come here. So you should make it worthy. So for us, I'm a monk. I have to sacrifice everything, so I have to make something worthy for my life. So the same thing, you sacrifice your whole day. You have to be aware of that, be mindful of that, you know, you tell yourself, I've come here, I would like something, plant some good seeds. It's the same thing. When I was young, I was 19, I become a monk. You know, 19 is the age that I should enjoy everything. Many girls out there, many friends out there, you know, I have a lot of things to enjoy, but I make a decision to become a monk. And the same thing is, you make a decision to come here. That you deeply inside you, you know that something that's calling, right? Something's calling deeply, not just on the surface, but deeply calling. I have some calling deeply inside myself. And when on my path of study, and I have done something, and I still do that, I think, since for 20 years. And that's the topic that I would like to share with you today. It's something I have been working with in my study, in my Naropa universities. I have been working on, and that been since I started my life as a Buddhist monk. I have been working on that, and I continue to write on that. And I have working paper on my MA paper, my final paper on that too. That's what I want to do. So the paper that I have done, and have to put a lot of works and for my final paper, MA paper. And the paper that I write on is Bodhicitta and Bodhisattva path. That's the path I want to walk. And I translate it into the path of serving, the path of loving, and the path of understanding. And I have the paper in front of me. Last night I went back and read it. Several topics I want to share with you, but I don't know if I was going to decide which topic I want to share. But finally, these topics, I think it's, I would like to share some of the works that I have done with you today. So the topic today is cultivating the mind of love. Because in this paper there is a lot of practice, you know, many practice on this paper, so I just want to get part up on the paper. So the path of cultivating the mind of love, that's what I want to share today. So love is something that we have in our life since we was young, right? The moment that you are in your mother's womb, the moment that you are conceived into your mother's womb, there is already love in that. Maybe conditioned love, maybe unconditional love. If you are the wanted child, then it's, you know, it's different. If you are the unwanted child, then it's different, right? So for me, is love is an art of living. It's an art of living. It's not mechanic. Something that is had to be an art. It's very punctual. It's very flexibilities and very unconditioned. So if we do not have the art of living in our life, our life is very dry. Very dry. It's like you can go to work, ARA, and you come back. It's like mechanic. Just like many of us did that. You go to work. Recently, I have some friends from, I don't know them, in Michigan, and they call me. And they just keep complaining about their work, you know, the worker, the workplace, the people around. And their work is like mechanic, just working 8 hours and then come back. So there is, we don't use that means to make our love flourishing, right? So we have to, love is everywhere around us, all the people. You come here, right? We come together, yes, here too. There is some kind of love here, you know, as a group, as a community. You can feel that the people around, even the environment, the trees around. When I come, I bought this place, that tree is dying. Half of them is almost dead, the big tree that we were standing. You can see there's still many dead branches. And every day I sit meditating in front of me and I look out. I give love. I say, please come back. And now it's coming back. It's coming back. Every day I see there's something green in that tree. And there's many birds come and take refuge. Bob press some food there and then the birds come down and eat. And we have a small pond out there. And the bird come and swim. Different kind of bird. Every day I sit on my room. I sit down and so lovingly. And I see the birds swimming, come and shake their hand. And you know, do different things. And after that they fly on the trees and take their food on the tree. So the trees also giving love to the bird. But and I also give love to the trees. And the trees die. But if we don't practice the kind of love in every day, our life is dying slowly. In some of our hearts is very dry and dying every day. So is love is kind of communication. If you have love, you open your heart. And someone can enter. Some bodhisattva can enter your heart. Just open up your heart. Because when you don't have your heart, love, you kind of joy and you open, you close up. Because you slowly die, we slowly die. And every when we slowly die, our heart swinging, it cannot be opened up. So in Buddhism, if you don't know how to love, and then you have, if you know how to love, you open your heart. If you're not Buddhist, you are a Buddhist. That's what the Buddha does for 45 years, 49 years of his mission. To bring love into the village, to bring love to the children, to bring love to his disciples. Even Jesus, right? You remember the story when there's one lady and everyone was, you know, blaming on her because she was doing something wrong, right? And everyone was trying to accuse her. And Jesus said that if you have never, I asked you a question, if you have never done something wrong, please don't rock. But if you've done something wrong, then don't. That's the love of Jesus to the lady. Right? Jesus opened her, his heart for that lady. So everyone in every day. So in Buddhism we have the name we call Bodhisattva. Right? He is the means, or she is the means to bring love to every body, Bodhisattva. Bodhisattva here is not limited to anyone. Any one of you can be a Bodhisattva. Or a priest can be a Bodhisattva. only friends can be Bodhisattva. The Bodhisattva here is someone who have the open heart, who have the love inside, who have the capacity to love, the ability to love everyone who comes to him or her. That is the Bodhisattva. If you do some works that carry, convey the love, then you are Bodhisattva. You don't have to be named a Bodhisattva, right? But you are doing the works of a Bodhisattva. So Bodhisattva here is, we have to decide what is the meaning of Bodhisattva. So in Buddhism, we say Bodhisattva is someone who have a great love, someone who have a great love, or great capacity. And in Buddhism, we call a great human being, great heart. Great human being, that means he or she have a great heart. Or great sentient being. Someone who have very big heart, that can receive the difficulty of other people and can transmit the love. That means you have to have the great heart, right? You have to have the capacity, you have to have the ability of loving someone that is not lovable, right? In your life, there's many people that are not lovable, right? Yeah. Right? Sometimes you couldn't love yourself too. We call it self-hatred. Right? In the West, we have a lot of self-hatred. You don't understand yourself. And you close your heart up. So you're not a Bodhisattva to yourself, right? But maybe in our family, there is someone that needs love. But we don't have the heart. We don't have the ability to love him or her. Someone is very close to you. Can be your mom, and can be your dad, or can be your children, or can be your brother or sister. Because we have a great heart. So we have to have the practice of a Bodhisattva. So this kind of Bodhisattva is inside us and can be outside us. You can be a Bodhisattva and someone can be a Bodhisattva. So it's not a limit to anyone, you know. And it's not a limit to Buddhism also. This can be a Christian, this can be a Muslim, or this can be a Jewish. Because anyone who have that kind of capacities can be a Bodhisattva. Jesus is a Bodhisattva, right? He had great love for every sentient being. And before the Buddha, he became a Buddha. He many of his life, he's a Bodhisattva. One of his lifetime, he was a tiger, and he was Bodhisattva to many children of his young baby. And in one of his life, he was a Bodhisattva, and he see a lion, mother lion, who is pregnant, and was starvation because he couldn't have a hunt, and he sacrificed his life because the tiger was so hungry, he couldn't move. Even he was there, the tiger wouldn't eat him, so he had to cut himself and get the blood to the tiger, and the tiger can lick the, you know, drink the blood and then have some more energy and eat him. And that's one of his life, many of his lives like that. He's an animal, and he can be a human. And if our heart is closed, then we feel very tense inside us, very rigid. And we are very grouchy because our heart has no space for breathing. That's why this morning I do the guided meditation breathing. You have to breathe in and let the oxygen in to flow in and open your lung up, your heart. So when your heart is strict, how can you breathe, right? Constriction. Yeah. So you have to open your heart up. So that's kind of, if you are Bodhisattva, you have to do something to yourself. Every morning, get up and do some meditation, just to calm your body and your mind. Breathe some fresh air. You have to be a Bodhisattva to yourself before you be a Bodhisattva to others. You have to be love yourself first, self-love. Don't be self-hatred, you know. In our culture, the West, we have a lot of self-hatred because we don't know. Really now understand our body and not really understand our mind. And once we have self-hatred, we hate everything around us. We become a victim for ourselves. and fix them for other people around. So in Buddhism we have many bodhisattva, but today I would like to talk about the Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva. You see the statues out there? It's a form of Avalokiteshvara. She was standing, and on her hand she has a, what do you call, a willow? Pillow, a willow? Branch of we call branch of willow branch or something like that, the branch of tree. And she tried to put out the nectar, you know, if you come to her, she will drop you a drop of nectar so your heart can be open. Yeah, that's what she do. That's what she does. So Avalokiteshvara is the grey love. Avalokiteshvara.
We call
the mother of love. Or the mother of consciousness. In Vietnam, we have a lot of practice about her. Every Vietnamese people, they know her name. And we do a lot of chanting and a lot of her and practice of her, a lot of her practice, her teaching. And in Vietnamese, we call Quan Thế Âm. Have a specific meaning. So Quan means to look deeply. Quan means to look deep. And this is a word, Thế, that means world. That means suffering, self-suffering. And this is looking deeply. So because you know in Vietnam there is a lot of war. Constantly, one war different. We have Chinese war dominate, colonized Vietnamese for 1,000 years. 100 years French colonized, American also, Japanese also. So there is constantly war in Vietnam. Even now, there is still war in Vietnam right now, between China and trying to Vietnam. So a lot of people were suffering, you know. Oh, most of us suffering. So we call her name, we invoke her name. Invoke her name outside to strengthen the quality inside us. So we would look differently, we would cry. People would cry because of suffering. I've lost my children, I've lost my family. And then you know what, due to the communists, a lot of family was killed in the middle of the night. Next morning they lost their parents. Children were also lost. And so we call her name, recite her name, of love and kindness, mother of love. And even in our society today, we live in the West, even though we have everything, but many of us suddenly cry at night. Even at day time, you cry, you're suffering in your heart. You lost the love. You lost the communication with the people around. You feel lonely. Even you see that when you are in the ocean of people, but you're still suffering. You still feel lonely inside you. So you have to invoke her name, Mother of Love. So you can connect with yourself inside. You can open the channel of love inside. And after the communists took over the country, many people escaped on the ocean. I myself was 1 month on the ocean. And many people was encountering storm. And the lost told the boat, the whole boat was totally killed and submerged under the ocean. And people cry and call them. The mother of love, come, please give us some love. Please come and rescue us. And there is dolphin come. You know, we lost our way of ocean. We don't have any direction, we have any compass. To swim, we was lost in the ocean. And suddenly we call her name. And dolphin come and lead our way. Dolphins, they hear the sound. So the dolphin is the bodhisattva, manifest as a bodhisattva, and come and lead our way. Even my bow, we have saw a lot of dolphins, you know, just swim, you know, in front of the bow and a little way out. Because in the middle of those oceans, there is many turbulence. You see, the water is like a pool and it pulled out. If we are not careful, we sink into that spot and then totally the whole boat will disappear. And so we lost our way, so we call on him. We call on him to help us. So when we invoke on him, we become more calm. Because when we are in the situation of nature, we are so distracted. We are so confused, don't know what to do. And when we evoke a name, slowly the energy of calmness comes. The energy of calmness is a bodhisattva. So you make it, your mind is clear, so you can make the decision. You can make a decision. So it's the same thing in our life today. We have everything, but sometimes we're confused. Sometimes we have food to eat. But after you eat, your stomach is still filled with food already. And you still feel hungry. You don't know why. Because we are lost. We cannot connect with ourselves. We have no connections. So the practice is to go back. To go back. And open up the channel of love inside us. Unable to communicate with ourselves. Or with people around, when you open the channel off, and when you open the channel off, you have a big one to live. You're able to open a kind of channel inside yourself. Sometimes we live in our society today, we have everything, but we can communicate with our, we can communicate with the computer for many hours, right? Because we try to run away. And you think that the computer is not talking. So you just talk with it, do whatever the computer you like to do with the computer. And you sit in, but you cannot sit in front of your loved one for 1 hour or for 1 minute. When you sit in front of someone that you love, and you feel some kind of emotional. But the computer don't have emotion, right? They don't can feel, and you just sit there for an hour. And you can do your email for an hour. You can chat. But how come you cannot chat or talk to your loved one? How come? You have to ask yourself that. How can you can open the kind channel inside yourself? You have to ask ourselves that kind of question. We are running away from ourselves. And the more we're running away, the more we're suffering, you know. You can sit after you come back from work, you sit in the computer, you email your friend or someone listening. But the person in front of you, you can email to her, talk to her, or to him. You're so blocked. Your heart is so close. You can fax some fax to long distance. But why don't you fax something that's directly to your loved one? And we live in the help, in that kind of help all the time. So you have to be a bodhisattva to your loved one and to yourself, right? To your children. Spend some time with your children, you know. I know one time I go to the airport and I was sitting in meditation. You know, whenever I go to the airport that I have some time, I do my meditation in the airport. You know, nobody knows what you're doing. You sit there and silently and really meditate, but somebody thought you were sleeping. Yes. But I was meditating and then I sit next to this one lady, and she had one computer. And the child was 5 years old, also had one computer. So she put her child was to sleep by playing game, you know, so he not running away or he's not bothering. Why don't you share some that moment you have the time in the airport, sleep and talk to your children. Hold his hand or her hand. It's most nourishing, right? Why don't you put him or her to sleep by doing that and talk to someone, some long distance, some alien worlds, some alien you don't know, but your children is in front of you. So I was feel sorry for the child. I would sit there and look back to myself and I feel compassion. You know, I don't feel hate anything, I feel compassion for the child.
I say, if I was in that case, I would grow up like a mechanic. Right? Because mostly you deal with mechanic. Computer is some kind of mechanical. And you deal with that. And you grow up, how can you open your heart? You don't plan to see a love that's life love in you, right in front of you. So whenever you know, you already, day and time, day and night, you're already busy with your work. You're busy with other things. But the moment you travel with your children, you might take a vacation, but not is that a vacation, right? You really enjoy the time. So spend some time like that. Really alive. Really nourishing your children and your loved one. Maybe your husband and your wife. And sometimes you go to the airport, you go on vacation, and she sits on that corner and you sit on this corner. You're facing each other in different directions, right? That's not a vacation. Vacation is something that you enjoy, but really enjoy is to entrust with ourselves, to entrust with our loved one. And sometimes we have the ear, but our ear is too sensitive to many things. But we are not sensitive to someone close to us. She is suffering, or he is suffering. He or he is calling for you. It's Bodhisattva. You have to play Avalokiteshvara and listen. Right? See, calling silently, or she's calling silently for your help. You are there to help her. Where are you in her life, or where are you in his life? We have come together to help each other, right? If you have, where you come together, you have to ask yourself that question. We come together to grow up. We come together to strengthen our ability of love, our ability of understanding, right? We don't come together to make ourselves each other suffering. Don't do that, right? But many of us do that. We forget. Our purpose to come together is to love each other, to make each other grow in a healthy way. Listen with the ear of compassion, the ear of a Bodhisattva. You have suffering, and he also has suffering. But we come together to work it out. Not to come together to create more problems, or to create more difficulty, right? But in our society today, mostly, most people like that, you not come together just only to just ultimate physically only, you know? That's just only the surface. Two Bodhisattva come together to work together to bring up a new generation with many Bodhisattva. Not we just want to create some alien beings that make more problems for society, right? Yeah, you produce some Bodhisattva. You come together. If you have two hearts like that, you will produce some Bodhisattva for our society. Our society needs more Bodhisattva. We don't need anti-society, right? We don't need that. We're trying to make our society a better society. But in order to have a better society, you have to have a better individual. You have to have a better family. Because many families make up society. Many families make up communities. So you have to better ourselves first. That's why we come together. So we come together here as a community like this. We support each other in the practice. Later we have a chance to share, this is my difficulty. And there's some of your friends able to listen and learn from that. Right? We're not going to put you down when you share some difficulty. That's not a community. So a Bodhisattva, you have to be a Bodhisattva to your family. To your family. If in one family we have a Bodhisattva, then we are very grateful. Very grateful. Because they're able to listen. They're able to embrace the difficulty of the family. And everybody can look up. You say, why can we do that? Why can we do that? So we have to listen to each other's sufferings. We all come into this world, we carry with ourselves some kind of difficulty, some kind of afflictions, right? Everybody. But it doesn't mean that you have the right to have some kind of difficulty, but you don't have the right to not to practice and to transform that. That's what makes you strong. When you have difficulty, you work it, deal with it, and make you become a strong person, a better person. Without suffering, the Buddha will not heal with us. And so we have the Four Noble Truth of the Buddha teaching. Basic teaching of the Buddha is the Four Noble Truth. Suffering is the first Noble Truth. That's why he became a Buddha, because he know how to work with his suffering. And he know how to transform his difficulty and make him strong, make him a better person. Right? The same thing as us. You want to be a Bodhisattva, you want to be someone that can be beneficial, someone that be lovable. Then you have to work, you know? And you become a beautiful person. If you know how to work with your difficulty, then you become a most very strong person. We have a lot of rocks, boulder in the back, and some trees grow right under that rock. And they are very strong, because those, they have to find a way to get some nourishment. They have to work with their own way to find food, and that makes them so strong. That's when I go up there and I will contemplate myself on that. I don't run away from my difficulty. I bet if I told you my difficulty, then it's enormous. But I work with that. I always work with my difficulty. And I think the same thing of us here. In your heart, you have love, but you have compassion. But at the same time, you have difficulties. You have sufferings. Work with that. And turn that suffering into nectar. That's what the Bodhisattva Avalokiteshvara does. She comes to rescue people who are suffering. And he or she make that suffering into nectar. And from that nectar, she go and spread out everyone. Love. She don't spread out suffering, right? That's what the Bodhisattva does. Because she has the ear of listening. Because there are many thousand, very long listening. But because she is very calm. Her eye, her ear is very sensitive. Sensitive to the suffering, all calling, all crimes. So now at night we cry with our pillow, face out, face into the pillow and cry. Because we cannot share that suffering with anyone. We know, even though your loved one, your wife, your husband, your children, and sometimes children, they come home and they cry to the puppet. Right? Can you cry to the parents? The parent is so authoritative, you know. Everything you say out, your parents just say, you're wrong. You really, when you say that, you really plant a bad seed in the conscience of your children. And he or she didn't see any beauty in that. How can he nourish to grow healthy? How can? No. That's why many of our young people grown up anti-society, that dysfunctions mentally and physically, because we have toxic them. So as a parent, you have to be a Bodhisattva. When the children say something wrong, you don't just go and crush her, or you have to say, explain clearly and show him or her a way out with a loving heart, with a healing hand. That's what makes your children grow healthy. You don't say that if he or she does something wrong, you don't say that you are stupid. No, don't say that to your children. You really plan, when you say that, you really plan bad seed. And it will grow, and then you are the one who harvests it. Right? You want your children to be grow healthy. But you plan a bad seed, how can he grow healthy? You expect something opposite. And you blame him. Why are you not a good person? Why are you not saying something nice? If you plan to say that he does something, you say, why are you doing that? Why are you so stupid? You plan something already. And then the next time he say back to you, and you will be, and you blame him. No, you have to use your ear to listen to him or her. And sometimes our ear is so restless, we couldn't hear anything. Our mind is restless, our ears also. It's really difficult to hear something. And our ears very judgmental. Once something someone say out, we really act right away. We're so judgmental. Because we don't have the calmness inside. We don't have the calm, the stability inside us. You have, but you don't know how to cultivate. Just the matter is to cultivate through your everyday. You make a step, for example. Tonight, you go home. Your home may be somewhere, and you take a really peaceful walk to your house. You bring some energy to your house. Get that transformed. Some house have a lot of negative energy. We call who really, like you, we are really that. Every time we have a lot of arguments with our children, with our wife, and you are producing what? You are producing the negative energy in the house. And you are the one who breathes that in. And you talk to yourself. And we talk to our children. So today, after a day of mindfulness, you have some tools to work with. Go home and walk in with a peaceful heart. Bring in some and beautiful energy, healthy energy into the house. Have a blissful smile when you walk in. You are the first one to benefit from that. When you have had a peaceful smile, your body is relaxed, right? Your heart is beats in a pattern that should not be too fast, right? And then you're the first one, and your health will be affected on that, right? And then slowly to your children, hug him or her. When you hug him or her, you with your loving energy, you already do something. Say, Mom, when you come home, give beautiful eyes, give a beautiful smile, give a peaceful heart to your children. And you don't know that you are transmitting some beautiful seed that later your seed will grow. If you see, do the same thing. You remember that once you learn something your parents, you do the same thing as your parents. I remember when my teacher, I repeat something very similar to my teacher, but I try not to imitate. We are social sentiment, but we are very easy to imitate what our parents do or what our teachers do. You know, when our teachers walk, you know, our parents walk fast, you know, not really very 5 minutes. And then the children do the same thing when they grow up. But if you walk slowly, you know, solid, peacefully, and you say, wow, my mom saw today, it's different. The children is very sensitive in their heart. They can see the difference and say, wow, my mom was really something different. And they learn from that, you know. You are the first teacher to your children because you are with them every day. So when today you go home, if you have children, walk in your house with a peaceful heart, with a peaceful smile. Give your children heart that you already did something healing. Between you and your children might be having some difficulty or might be have some conflict, but that will slowly open up the channel of love and communications in you. This is unseen energy. For example, you go into the practice center, and that practice center, a lot of people practice quietly. When you walk in, you feel the right way. You don't see it, but you feel there's some kind of calmness, there's some kind of peace here, right? You feel it right away. So we have to establish ourselves in a loving way, in a freedom way, in a solid way. Solid here is not very rigid. Solid because you are very firm, but you are very flexible. You know, things come, you don't react right away. Just live a moment. Take a deep breath when your children say something that is not really, you don't like it. Take a deep breath. Don't react away. Don't say things right away. Or maybe your husband, right? Or your wife, or your sister, say something. It hurt my ear. It hurt your ear. Something say is very sharp like a knife, cut them through your ear. And then you react right away. You feel the energy. You react in a way. So the practice is take a deep breath. Hold a minute.
Just hold the sound, calm a minute. And after that, you will be say something different. Instead of say something very hurtful, you will say something different. I bet you, it does practice. Take a deep breath. I practice that. I know that I experience myself. Before I was very stubborn and I was very hard-headed, but now it's different because of the practice. Whenever something that some people do something that I don't like, I just take a deep breath and let go of my mental judgment. As you know, the abbot of the temple, you have a lot of authority, right? You can do anything you like, but not for me. Different. When people do things, I take a different. I don't like, I take a different. I say that every people have beautiful idea, something they can contribute. Because it is only one idea. So only it might be. So you're able to open yourself and accepting other people's idea because of your calmness. You slow down, take a different. And that moment you feel your body. What is going on in your body? Because the moment that you don't like something, there's a chemical that produces that hit yourself right away. And we have the act, the habit is whatever that we don't like, we just jump in and react and say something that we don't really like right now. So the practice is to slow down and take a deep breath and take a deep look and open yourself. That's the practice. So that is the capacity, that is the ability of the Buddha. That's the ability of the Buddha self. But you also have that. Everyone have that. In Buddhism we say everybody have that ability. Ability to become a Buddha, but the ability to be calmness. Everyone have that. There is no denial. But the matter is we are willing to cultivate that. We are willing to practice that or not. That is the question. You know? Doesn't matter what religion you are, you have that ability. So the Bodhisattva is someone who has the ability of great love. So everyone have this. Even though you are everyone, children, they also have this also. You know, you can see some children, they have very big heart and they can help you a lot. They can be your teacher. They can be our teacher. You can see they have a fresh mind. So the Buddha saying that you want to be a Buddha, you have to be children. Because the mind is very fresh, very open, not judging. Just say the same thing. Just say that you want to enter the kingdom heart of God, you have to be children. Right? That's what you mean. So, and deep listening here, you have to listen to yourself because you have the suffering and you run away from you. And you don't listen to your suffering. We don't listen to our suffering. We have a headache, but we just try to take some medicine, but we don't really listen to our headache and see what's the cause of that. You have the right to take the medicine, but listen to it. What is the cause of your headache? Maybe you are going to sun too much, or maybe you exposed to some kind of cold was not supposed to. If you listen to that and you can see the roots of that suffering, right? So when we're able to listen to ourselves, there's a big relief for us, inside us. And we have to do that to ourselves. We have to do that. So during the whole day of working, after you work for 8 hours, you're so much stressed. Then go home. What do? You turn on the TV. You run away from that stress. You think that turn on the TV might be helping you to reduce the stress. Or at least some kind of, you might have difficulty with your co-worker, right? And you try to run, block your way, turn on TV and run away from that kind. We never listen to that. Never have. Because you block yourself. You don't open your heart. There is no space in the heart. You think that open TV will be replaced, will be, you know, you'll be helping me to release my suffering or my difficulty of communications with my boss or my co-worker. But it's going back again tomorrow when you see her or him. Because we will see the root cause of that. Right? So, this medicine is have yourself some open space. Sit down and relax your body and your mind. You can sit on a bench outside, under the tree, right? Or some place that you feel you think is quiet. Because the whole day you are being occupied with your thinking. The whole day. Thinking constantly, never have a time of quietness. So go home and have some kind of quietness. So that's why I come here. I was asking you to have some space for you. I don't want to take everything from you, space or quietness in happening. You have to have that. That is the healing. The Buddha teaches all the monks, and then after his teaching, he said, please find a quiet place and sit in the city and contemplate the teaching so that you can have the space. That's what in the sutta the Buddha told all his disciples. And the Buddha himself, sometimes in the communities, there's many problems. Even there are monks and nuns, they still have problems. They are ascendants. So they fight with each other, they argument with each other, they debate with each other. And the Buddha gets headache, you know, headache. So one time, two group monks, they're really stubborn. They don't listen to what they fight with each other on the rule. You know, they say, they claim this is true, it's right, but this says, you are wrong. So they just, and they ask the Buddha to step aside. The Buddha gets so much headache. And the Buddha say, okay. And then he goes to the forest for 3 months, retreat by himself. See, the Buddha know how to heal his problem. How from to get some quiet space from the community. You imagine that the Buddha helped like thousands and thousands of disciples. Monks and nuns only, but not including the lay community. You see, so he had a lot of headaches, you know. But other time maybe they have pills, they don't have time now, you know, to kill the headache. So the Buddha used the meditation and look at the root. So the same thing in us, you know, you work in a company, there's a lot of people, a lot of workers, they have a lot of habits, a lot of different ideas, a lot of different concepts that go into the company, even in your family, right? So you have all this busy time, and you never have a time to reflect back what you need to do, you know, calm yourself down. So, as a practitioner, you have to find yourself some space like that. You might be a doctor, and you work in the office all day. You're faced with different clients, and clients, many clients, because they are ill, mentally and physically, and they bring all the problems to you, and you don't have a space to release, and then you go overwhelmed. Even you are a lawyer. You have a lot of anger in your head, right? A lot of things going in your head, and many people bring problems to you, and you have to find a way to solve the problems. So you don't have space. So when you go home, you know, at your house, make some space for yourself. Now, you know, Thich Nhat Hanh, he recommend that we have a voila. We have a breathing room, you know, that's totally quiet. And you can arrange this in certain ways that there's space. So at the end of the day of work, you go into that room for breathing. And to refresh yourself, to make yourself fresh again. Otherwise you'll be very crumbled, you know, very crouchy. When you talk to your loved one, your parents, love to talk to your husband, talk to you because you are full of some difficulties. So how can you, what you say is coming out from your head. How can you have space for your children, right? So you have to make that space. So that's why we come into the practice center. That's why everybody practice, bring different energies. Practice center is quite more quiet. And it's more human energy. Because everybody come and they have the intentions to want to practice, to harden the practice. And we have the practice that where everybody can come and able to listen over the ear and listening to each other. What's easier? But in the center, if you don't practice, you get more hectic. You get more hectic because a lot of people come and, you know, just chit-chat and bring car shopping. Car shopping, then, oh man, you'll be crazy. Yes, you'll be crazy. So today I just want to share with you the teaching of Avalokiteshvara, who is able to keep you, to transmit some kind of, open up the channel for us, that kind of channel, so that in our life you can have a meaningful life. Otherwise, we live in a society that a lot of we always running, and we have hard time listening to each other, you know. We have a hard time communicating with our loved one. I think everyone does, more or less. But if you are lucky, you have a person that able and have a good heart, you know, and able to open up the channel for you to enter. So you are lucky. And that's why in our society, a lot of divorce, they just come, two people come together, and they satisfy with physically, and they go. Because they're not able to listen what is deeply inside the two hearts. Right now it's 67% of divorce. I think most of the family get divorced because not able to cultivate this kind of practice together. We not come together just only satisfies that, you know. It's something more, something much more deeply. So today we will have a chance together to share. We come together is a sharing, a family. I'm not just only, I share my practice with you. And when I sit down, I can learn something from you. We come together as a learning communities. And many of the practice in my paper, if I have chance, I can share how the Bodhisattva practice. You know, there's many different gates. So one of the practices is that if you are truly Bodhisattva, you have to master what we call 84 gates, Dharma gates, or 84,000 way of practice. So there's many thousand, practice that you can do. You know, walking meditations is one practice. You know, listen to your loved one who is having a difficulty, that is one practice. So in Buddhism, it's 84,000. So many practice. So the Bodhisattva have to practice, master all that practice. So in order to be able to come out into the world, because each centimeter carry their own karma. So we have to offer different medicine, you know. Okay, if this person is so angry, so we have to offer him some medicines to transform his anger, right? But this person is so self-hatred. So we have to offer something that he can come back to himself. So as a Bodhisattva, we have to master 84,000 practice. But if once you master one practice, you master all the practice. That's the key. Because once you open your heart, you have the love. And everything you everywhere just spread one drop of water, you know, and then everything will come down. Right? So that's what I would like to share with you today. And I'm glad to conclude my talk right now. So thank you for your listening and sitting patiently. You have to be very patient in order to sit and listen. You have to. So sometimes I thought you might have some kind of things going on in your head. Say, I doubt about that. Right? It happened to me too, you know, when my teachers were teaching, I doubt in my head, you know, but slowly I transform my doubts. I have to practice and see the teaching. Let the teaching permeate me, and I'm able to see it. And then my doubt is removed. So, you know, some of my sharing, you can be doubt, but it's okay to be doubt, you know? And that's what, that's why we are practicing to remove our doubt. There is many other Bodhisattva like Manjushri. Manjushri is the Bodhisattva of wisdom. And also the Samantabhadra, who is the great vow actions to serve other beings, other sentient beings, and Siddhikapa is the earth bodhisattva, is like mother, home of the seas. So if other, next time I can share with you other bodhisattva, then what is their vow, what is their practice. Because all this bodhisattva is a manifestation of you, it's the quality that in you. So he or she is trying to show us that you have that, so try to cultivate that qualities, that character in you. Nothing is outside you, have to be inside you. Suffering is inside you, but also happiness is inside you. So the practice is to cultivate that, to make that alive, to make that alive in you, and then you'll be your truly bodhisattva. Once again, so thank you. So I will invite you to sound the bells and you sit, relax, and take a deep breath.